You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Eyes on Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Reuters reporting, Iran's currency slipped to the lowest level in history, nearing 1.25 million rial to the dollar. 1.25 million to the dollar. The Iranian rial stood around 55,000 to the dollar in 2018 when U.S. sanctions were imposed by the first Trump administration to force Tehran to the negotiating table. As of yet, no negotiation, and the rial continues to deteriorate. To help us understand the struggles of the people in Iran trapped by the regime, we welcome Jonathan Saya of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy. I'm joined by my colleague and co-host, Bill Raggio, senior fellow for the FTD who keeps the Longwire Journal. Jonathan, 1.25 million is failure. Your contact with Iran is intimate. You grew up there. What does this mean for the people in Tehran or in the other large cities? Are they able to buy food with an inflation rate that has climbed this dramatically? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. You're right to point out the implication of the rising dollar prices against the rial. Of course, it trickles down into issues like inflation. Just putting it into perspective, you know, growing up there, and I, you know, left Iran in 2013. Prior to that, it maybe the equation was about 9,000 rials to the dollar. So you're talking about really astronomically different numbers. The life in Tehran and in Iran is not necessarily what it used to be. In part is probably due to, of course, sanctions, even though they have not been that rigorously enforced recently. We're still seeing the implications of that. But most importantly, when we talk about the market, really in any country, it is greatly based on perception. And with the Iranian case, we've seen the rial depreciate during the times that people were anticipating another conflict. So that is, from a political sense, it's indicative of the perception inside the country that war or conflict might be imminent.
Bill, you have a question for Jonathan.
John, given the extremely high inflation, what does the regime do to try to mollify the people in order to keep them in line? Because this is an oppressive regime. How can the regime mitigate the effects of such massive inflation?
Well, Bill, you're right to point out that we're talking about a repressive apparatus that's put in place to really keep the people in line. But no brutal dictator ideally would like to let it go that far, especially a regime like Tehran that is under so much international scrutiny. So, of course, in addition to really terrorizing and victimizing the population, they have a carrots and sticks approach in a sense that during times of crisis, whether it's going to be economic crisis or if there's war at times or if there's civic unrest, the regime allows for limited short-time social freedoms to at least try to appease young people particularly, because we're talking about a population that's majority young, under 30. So what we've seen recently is actually very limited a facade of at least lifting part of the restrictions. We saw, for example, there was a women's marathon in an island of Quiche that women were allowed to run without their hijab. But then later on, many of the organizers were actually arrested. So it's kind of it's this false image of reform and change, whereas in reality, nothing really changes. But short term, it does appease a certain sector of the population, at least. But it hasn't really been a long term strategy.
Why would a young man join the Basij, the militia, or the IRGC, the Army Special Corps, or even the Army? What drives them to, because clearly there are recruits. Is it money? Is it security? Is it family? How does the security apparatus find new soldiers?
That's an excellent question. And looking at the numbers to start with, approximately the estimate is that about 20 to 30% of the Iranian population is on board with the regime. And that's really the higher end. So out of that 20 and 30, you have to look at young men. And typically what we see is that these are descendants of regime officials themselves. So for you to be able to even break into that apparatus, you can't just be an unconnected person getting in. So it's really a kleptocratic system that really is designed to keep the descendants of those people in place. But on the other hand, the regime has a legitimacy problem amongst the youth. So regime officials talk about how mosques are closing down, how the young people are not into religion as much. So when it comes to recruiting people, ideological reasoning, unfortunately for them, is not paying out as much. So we're really getting into the facade of putting up a really religious image while providing economic benefits for these people, or having them be more affiliated with the inner circle of the regime. But they do have a security problem. What we do know is that you don't necessarily need that many recruits in order to terrorize the population.
Bill, you have a question.
Given the extreme inflation going on, are we seeing cutbacks in services for the Iranian people in the terms of energy or healthcare or any other services? Or how is the regime propping itself up in the economic sector?
That's an excellent angle, Bill. Well, Iran as a whole, the Islamic Republic, is not necessarily a welfare state in a sense that we would maybe think of certain Nordic countries. It comes down to one issue that has really paved the way for protests in the past, and that's subsidizing fuel prices, gas, petroleum, for people to operate their vehicles. Sometimes they generate electricity from it. So any inability to subsidize that in the past has led to one of the most major nationwide protests in 2019. It was prior to the Women Life Freedom Movement. It was really the first major nationwide protests against the Islamic Republic. So I think to an extent, officials are really aware of that. They will try their best. But the president has said time and time again that maybe rising fuel prices might be inevitable. So we're going down that path. And it's also a seasonal issue. During extreme cold and extreme heat, energy consumption goes much higher. And that's when you see a lot of economic challenges. So we're headed into the winter season right now. It is likely for that to be an issue, but usually we've seen that issue during the summertime as well.
And Jonathan, finally, we're looking at a regime that clearly understands repression. We're looking at a regime that has a vision of itself as a lone warrior here with people serving its purposes. Is that a long-term strategy on their part? Will that be sustained? In other words, are people recognizing that as someday we will win, or is it despair? Can you generalize?
From the Islamic Republic's perspective, they think they can go on with the brutality. They've seen that to be, for the most part, sustainable. But there are elements within the regime that no longer view it that way because the youth particularly are really connected to the West. They don't abide by the, Islamic norms of their parents' generations. So there are elements within the regime that ideally would like to offer some fake reforms to keep this going, because brutality really is expensive for the Islamic Republic as well. But as a whole, I think they're gravely concerned with a generational problem.
And the generational problem is getting worse or better? Are there more young people being born, or is the birth rate cut back?
Currently, it's in severe decline, but as we speak, it is majority under 30. So it is great momentum, but it's not sustainable given the low birth rate. So for major change, we need to see something happen in the next 5 to 10 years, the latest.
Jonathan Saya for the Foundation for Defense of Democracy, reflecting on the life inside the Islamic Republic of Iran. Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow, keeps the Long Word Journal, where you can see Jonathan's reporting. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.